adventurers. I am your co-host, Michael DeMauro, and my pronouns are him. With me this week, Tim Lane.
Hey, everybody. It's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me. My pronouns are he, him.
Mike Bachman.
Hey, my pronouns are he, him. I thought last week was the last one. Why are we here?
What am I doing here?
Jennifer Chi.
Hi, everyone. My pronouns are she, her.
Nika Howard.
Hello. My pronouns are also she, her.
This is our sort of loose cast retrospective.
Loose
where
cast.
the loosest cast in all of D&D. Where we sort of talk about, I don't know, just the you know, accomplishment that we had, what it meant to us.
A retrospective.
Retrospective.
Of the past
funny
nine
stories.
Fucking years, man.
All those fun things. But first. We gotta give away some Die Hard dice.
That's right.
What?
We have to?
We have to. Well, I guess we won't have to.
We gotta do it. We gotta do it.
We don't technically have to.
Every single week on twitch.tv/geeklyinc or geekly. We gotta change the fucking name. geeklyinc.com/twitch, the official URL of D&D podcast. Well, no, that's dndpodcast.com, which doesn't go anywhere right now because we turned it off.
Where does rank farts go these days?
Geeklyinc.com. Yeah, maybe I'll change it.
Just like homegrown Simpsons. HomegrownSimpsonStuff.com. That goes to Geekly
yes.
Inc. too.
That's what everybody wants.
That's so funny. I don't know what's happening anymore, but yeah, we give away a code for dice where you're able to fill your card up with a handful of specific numbers of dice, shake up that dice, and enter the offer code.
Dragons! Exclamation point.
Dragons! Exclamation point. So yeah, you can do hashtag the end if you're on Twitch right now, or come hang out on our Twitch stream. And you two could maybe win. But since you won't win because of the number of people in the Twitch streams.
But you might.
You can go.
Sometimes you win and then you don't actually win. So it's all a lie.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. But it's a fun time to come on.
Yeah.
Because you see the stuff that gets cut out. So sometimes you see little, you know, little jewels.
Like the first seven times we tried to intro the podcast.
Yes.
But you can go to dieharddice.com, enter in the offer code DRAGONS! Exclamation mark. And get 15% off your order. We get a little kissy of that. So hashtag ad. All right. Who wins? Mariasi. Mariasi, congratulations. You win your very own code for a full pillowcase's worth of dice. Maybe. That's on you.
Very small pillowcase.
Yeah.
A dice bag.
A dice bag. It's a dice bag. Congrats.
Woo.
You win. Now you can never say, I never win anything.
That's right. Yeah, that's true.
If you do say, I'll find you. I have your phone number,
like,
probably.
You're a fucking liar.
If you left a voicemail at Dad Milk Biz, my mom used to work for the police department.
She'll find you. And now she's a nanny.
And an actress.
And an actress?
And a pundit for
TMZ. And a pundit for TMZ.
Well, thank you so much again for entering in the sweepstakes to win the dice. And thank you so much, everyone that came to Twitch in order to do it. But let's get into the retrospective.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Well, I guess for starters, Michael.
What?
Wasn't that wild?
That was crazy.
Wasn't that crazy?
Do you remember our campaign that lasted 9 years?
We went from level one to level 20, sort of.
Yeah. Level 1 to like 13 or 14 to level 8 or something, then to 20.
Something like that.
I didn't even remember that we did that. Like,
we did the math.
We should have just kept the numeric value of our levels when we moved over. And it would have felt so great.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I guess you're right, because 5th edition is like a lower power thing. So the fact that we went from like 14 to 8... which was like mathematically the same, wasn't. I was like, storm sorcerers not only don't exist, they fucking suck.
I feel like we've kind of had to deal with that several times throughout. Like, oh, this thing is actually not good. Maybe I'm just talking about me playing a ranger.
Yeah.
Which I just did because it sounded cool. And then everyone online
was
like,
you know, that one's broken, right? And I was like, and then it's like, oh, maybe you can try the Unearthed Arcana one.
Which
I
did.
And I was like, maybe do this other one because it's probably easier. Like, no, this one sounds better. I'm like, okay.
I messed up. in retrospect.
I wanted you to be a dex fighter.
Well, yeah, because I do. It is funny, like, looking back at it now. Like, I love Rowan as a character, but yeah, Ranger was tough for me to play.
Well, no one offered to make you that spreadsheet.
That's what I'm saying. It's tough for me because I'm not good at, like, doing anything like that.
Yeah.
Accepting help from people.
Yeah.
Or also understanding my own character.
Carving out time to
think about it. Exactly.
So we've gotten like a bunch of people saying like, oh, it's such a great accomplishment. And like, you know, that's, wow, that's amazing. And it occurred to me that, I don't know if I was just being dumb or naive or whatever, but I don't think it ever occurred to me that we might not make it to the end.
Oh yeah.
Like, I never doubted for a second that.
Yeah. No. I feel like we have a puppy's stupidity when it comes to certain things.
I think that's true.
And you know, seeing everyone quit their shows constantly. And I was like, huh. You have to have the perfect setup. You have to have two hyper anxiety doers that are on different, you know, poles of the anxiety. You gotta have the idea guy. You gotta have the zany one. You gotta have the actual type A that gets shit done. You know, it's a delicious little warm casserole.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, and we've said this a million times, I feel like, but I think that so much of our show and like why it's successful was just kind of by chance in a way is you know, we just happened, our personalities work well together long haul.
Yeah, like Bachman wouldn't even admit that we met before.
We didn't.
We didn't shake hands, but we were around each other.
We did not formally meet. You did not go to my father.
That is
and
true.
Ask if you could beat me.
I was like, yeah, we kind of met vaguely at PAX East. Like, no, we didn't. You weren't there. I was like, yes, I was. We went to the burrito place. Like, I don't know if you were there.
I remember the burritos.
It's like, you probably remember Nick, right? He's super tall. No, I don't think he was there. Like,
just
what?
The burritos.
But yeah, you know, that's, we've said it before about the community and the show. It's like, sure, obviously we're doing something, because obviously, but so much of the quote unquote success is just like, oops, we're good at it, or oops, it worked out, or oops.
Timing.
Right.
You know? I think it was a combo of timing and like our personalities meshing
right
together,
yeah, like,
and like,
yeah,
our what we wanted for RP.
Yeah, 50% of the cast for part of the first and second year having the I don't want to disappoint people gene right meant that we still trudged along. We never really went through that many bad spots, you know.
But just like, it is funny, like thinking back, I mean, 9 years is a really fucking long time.
It's incredibly
like,
long.
Or even too long. Like, not just like 9 years, but like whenever we start, because it's what, like seven and a half for years, similar. But like, it's just funny for me to like look back and think of myself. And I'm like, I was an entirely different person when we started this podcast.
Yeah, we look like babies.
We look like babies. Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
How many draft characters do I have in D&D Beyond? I see in the chat. Zero. I set everything once. I just click randomly. Whatever I land on, that's it. There's no do-overs.
You gotta have your wild card.
I think there's a fundamental misunderstanding of Bachman characters.
Oh, well, there definitely is.
Oh, there definitely is.
Oh, there's definitely.
There definitely is. So yeah, Michael, let's what most people want to know about. Like, what was your sort of vibe going into it? I mean, everyone knows about, like, oh, we've mentioned before, the whole you wanted it to be a little more gritty for the kingdom that founded on this. But, like, what was your what was sort of the outline, and then how did the outline change, and then how did it change, and how did it change, and how did it change?
I mean, it's too much. It's too much. I can't answer that. when I started, I thought, you know, I thought it would be more into, because me, Tim, and Jennifer were doing a Game of Thrones podcast with our buddy Nick Bristow.
Yeah.
And so I kind of was like, oh, maybe the vibe will be a little more Game of Thrones.
Right. Like dramatic
than
and
pure chaos.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't, despite the fact that I had obsessed about D&D my entire life, I never ever actually played a real game that lasted more than, you know, a couple weeks.
Yeah.
There was a lot of learning what D&D is. And I've learned that it's just a bunch of goofballs doing dumb shit.
Yes.
That's all it
which
is.
Which is great.
That's all it is. Yeah. You just have to make fart noises and roll a dice. And that's pretty much what D&D is. And
that's so beautiful.
Yeah. It's so beautiful. You just. So let's talk about villains, though. How soon was Finnegan born in your mind, Michael?
Finnegan? Fairly early on. I think that was the plan from the get-go. I think I dropped like one little hint, like someone's family was killed by an orange-haired or orange demons or something like that.
That. I do remember, like, sometimes early on where it was like maybe a misunderstanding at how deeply players listen to you, and also maybe not just listening, but like an ability to know what's like bolded, you know?
Well, right. Because that is the thing that's hard about it, is like you don't know what things are just like, you know, random, like you made up on the moment, and what things were like really hooks. So I feel like that's why I always get stressed with the concept of being a DM, because it seems so hard, because you just don't know how people are going to interpret what info you put out there, and then you have to, you know, just work with however they respond to it, and it's like never goes exactly the way you expect it to go.
So one of the reasons we're taking a break before the next campaign, which is just, I think it'll start in January. I think that
feels good.
I think I've mapped it out. Wow. It'll start in January, so about like 8 to 10 episodes or whatever. You all could have taken a path at the end there where you did go and kill all the gods.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that could have been a valid ending. And then the next campaign would have been like, I don't know, clerics would be like illegal.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Then, yeah.
You know, that was like a thing that I was seriously thinking about.
Yeah.
Because like, what do I do if these crazy people decide to do this?
Because when we get together at whatever, we would be like, you probably shouldn't think of your characters if we don't know where it's going to end. I'm like, okay, shut up. And then we would do it. But yeah, I know that's a good point of like, you know, where, or even then, like, are we going to go fight Vecna? Is that another four episodes? Is that, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. How did you foresee that third arc from the beginning, though, of, because that one felt very, like, not, felt very, like, planned, as in, like, you need the six MacGuffins, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I mapped it out pretty hard. Well, like the big bullets, yeah. Right? Like there's going to be this, you're going to go to each of these. Because I really wanted you all to explore the planes. Like, mm-hmm. I thought that would be fun and interesting, going to different places.
It was. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. So that was like part of it. And like it is, if we had the Angel of Death's Demonomicon somewhere, it does like, I think I wrote a lot of what I intended in there.
Oh, yeah. Anything spicy that
mysterious
the folks at home want to hear?
I put in the Eckhart stuff, or not Eckhart, but I did put in, I didn't know who Eckhart was at the mm-hmm. time, but I did put in that it was going to be Trant coming back.
Got
Ooh.
It. Wow.
That's sexy.
That's so long ago. That's crazy.
Yeah, that was a million years
ago.
Yeah, I guess actually I have a question for you, Michael. Like, was there any like hook that you think would have been fun that we never like went down the trail of that you think could have been interesting?
I think you guys explored pretty thoroughly.
Yeah, that is the thing. I feel like, our instinct as a crew is to like really dig into
get down.
Well, you fucking kill us all the time if we don't do what you want. You fucking blow our heads off.
Yeah. I know. I'm a monster.
Why did you stop telling us what all the doors were made out of?
You stopped asking.
What the hell?
I mean, after a certain point, it's just assume I want to know what the doors are made out of.
It's oak.
We want to know what the doors are made of. We want to know what the street name is.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's it. That's all I care about.
You did describe the door at the game we played on Saturday, and I respected it.
I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
You did. Let him go. Tell us what the doors were. Did. I think it's definitely interesting when you take a little bit of an idea clay and you mold it into a character. I guess I want to hear from, you know, everyone that played characters, not you, Michael. Just give me a break. Cause like, again, we're just always gonna be like, hey, what'd you want? What
were the secrets?
What was that like? What was crazy? What did we not do right? What was like the most surprising thing for y'all about playing various characters, whether it was surprising to you because you didn't go into it or surprising how different it was or anything like that?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that I, like, when I'm making characters, like, and I think I've talked about this before, like, I always, like, sort of pick things I like from existing characters as, like, I don't know, a base to use. And I'm always surprised with how different they end up than my, like, base idea. Because when I think about Rowan, my base idea was stealing from Victor from Your Eyes, which is, like, not actually at all. Rowan is, like, not like that at all.
That's so funny.
But that's why, like, I think the way my brain works, at least, is, like, I just find a character concept that I like.
Yeah.
And I know that when it's, like, filtered through my brain, it's going to turn out different. It's never going to be, like, exactly the same match. But, yeah, that's how I think about that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like my characters always start as one thing, usually like that as Jennifer, like I pick out something. I try to make a character and then fit like the rest of the details to it. But then I feel like with Jayla and with Lonnie, like each of them morphed into like being really representative of like things I needed to hear at the time.
Oh, a 1,000%. It's like actually kind of embarrassing, like the extent to which like myself comes out.
No, I mean, people like joke about it, like, how much of this, like, come on, man, like, duh, obviously.
Yeah, no, yeah. It really is.
It's
though.
A multiplicity version of you, right? It's
like, yeah,
it's like, it's not like which character,
it's like some aspect, of
right? It's like, which character is more
that you need to like,
get out and everything,
yeah,
exactly. Like, it is, it's like weird, like. Podcast therapy for 9 years.
Right.
That was so clear whenever we would do like a vacation-y thing.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like wish fulfillment.
Damn.
But like also I think just being able to play a character and like really like drill down into like a specific like character aspect of them was very satisfying to me. Like I think playing Rowan, like being able to really lean into the like dirtbagness of it was like good for me.
Right. Because I think we've talked about it before, like with all of our first characters, you know, were relatively one note, right? And to some extent, besides Tom, were, I don't know, like more or less just us. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, I mean, not, I shouldn't speak for you, Bachman. I mean, maybe Tom was, you know, just.
is Tom a representation of the Bachman inside?
I like pretty, like, I'm not sure the best way to say it, but I like pretty frequently experience, you know, like the call to the void, like the, just that, like, what's the worst thing I could possibly do or say at this moment?
Yeah.
And just like, That's been 100% what all my characters have been for me. It's just that release.
That's really interesting.
Funny. Sounds like you're doing the same thing that we are doing, but opposite.
Yeah.
It's like working through a part of yourself or something that is a quote unquote feeling, but you're going sicko mode. And I respect that.
Well, it's like, I think like there's a, you know, like, being like ADHD is like a huge part of my brain where it's like constantly just making like connections to like maybe things that we're talking about, but like, but aren't really relevant to anybody else that I'm talking to at the moment.
And like, I got your brain is like doing these like jumps, these like leaps to things, which is like very exciting because you're like, oh, like I'm firing, I'm like all my cylinders. But yeah, it doesn't always. Like, if people are not on the same...
Like, for creativity, it's great.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's where inspiration comes from. But just, like, in just a normal conversation with somebody else, it's like, I gotta do something with this.
Yeah, totally.
Well, yeah, I mean, how do you think that sort of, like, came about with some of the characters you played, though, Bachman? Or, like, was there anything that you wanted to do from playing, you know, all your characters together down the road?
I love to hear... your thoughts on, like, because you for real wanted Scud to have a redemption arc like that. I don't think that was a goof.
Jet.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Scud did some bad.
What's wrong with Scud? Why does he need
Scud's? Oh,
damn.
Which Scud is
problematic.
Scud's never coming back. Yeah.
And in the end, I think it's Steve that needed a redemption arc, but it doesn't either here nor there.
I mean,
it's like, you won't give my bad character redemption arc. I'm going to make my good character bad.
So take that.
You went out of your way to choose to make Jet a bad boy turned on, you know, the rest of the crew.
I wanted to say, I honestly, like, it's not that like I have like love for Jet or I thought that like Jet shouldn't be killed or deserve to die, but I think he had been so bad that what if I could. So you have to try.
What if?
So a classic light trolling in order to redeem the bad man.
Yeah, I mean it's not about giving anybody else grief, but more about, you know, testing the limits of my power, which turns out was very limited.
Like you're just thinking, like, could I do this? Like, could I make this character be likable? And I totally feel you because I love villains, and there's nothing I love more than a villain who becomes like sympathetic and people like them. Like,
yeah,
they have some good points. I don't know. That's just. I think it's a fun thing to play around with.
Yeah, it's definitely hard because you don't want to accidentally miss any quote unquote pathos or whatever,
right?
And sand all the edges off your characters,
right?
And reduce their flaws and things like that. I mean, Jet was just doing what Jet needed to do. You know what I'm saying? And if you had a murder. An entire realm to do it, you know? Is that so bad?
You.
Jet had a statue of his dad.
Okay. Yeah, that's so true. That is so true. It really does make you think.
I mean, you gotta weigh those scales.
Yeah.
We're not doing like questions from the chat necessarily, but is it
Postmates.
Postmates asked what the actual secret of Daisy was that we never explored.
What?
And I don't know if you all remember that, like, I think Tom had a scroll to talk to speak to animals, and like there was the whole there was the whole you know, and then I think, you know, some, I think, Tim, you were like, if Daisy's magic, I'm going to quit.
Yeah. Like, that was more of a complicated situation, but yeah.
And for that one, I definitely will say I had no thoughts about that at all. I had zero.
Right, because that was, let's just say it was none of our ideas that Daisy was magic. And it didn't really feel like a super interesting realm to go down. But her becoming magic was interesting.
Yeah, and it was also funny to just constantly tease it and never do anything with
yeah,
it. Right. That's funny.
I mean, I did forget about the scroll. That wasn't like a long con.
And that doesn't mean that Daisy, like, I'm not saying Daisy wasn't magic. I'm just saying I didn't, that wasn't a thing that I decided. You know, that was
right,
like,
right, yeah.
If it comes up, then we'll just figure it out.
Right.
Yeah. If somebody actually pulls the trigger on the scroll thing, I'll just have to figure
out. But it wasn't out, like you had to, like, some plot hook with Daisy
yeah.
that no, never yeah, got. Yeah.
Right, because Daisy was there, right, to help us get from point A to point B. It's yeah. like, oh, yeah. is there a wagon? Yeah, it's not like it's not like there was always a wagon. There was always a Daisy. You know, there was no wagon. Oh, there is a wagon now. Is there a donkey? Sure. We either named the donkey Daisy or whatever. But you know, that's the beauty of games like D&D is you make everything up on the spot. You know, it's a commute. Yeah. It's a communal storytelling.
Yeah, it's cooperative. Thing.
It's way more fun that way, honestly. Like,
everyone's geniuses in the show, but I do think sometimes the audience misses that fact a lot, right? Of like,
yeah, you know, we're just doing it on the fly,
right? Thinking yeah. it's like over, not scripted, but maybe over planned or over this and over that. I think that's hard to kind of know.
It is funny because I do feel like sometimes people would be like, oh, well, you said this in this episode, but in this earlier episode, you said this other thing. It's like, yeah, we forgot.
Yeah. They're both true now.
That's
okay.
Right, improv-ing. It's like, yeah, you just, I don't know. And that's the thing too with improv is like, you just kind of say what comes out of your mouth and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work as well. You just don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like having, you know, we don't have like a story Bible. We don't have like a script to follow. It's just.
I mean, you do, but yeah. But we don't. Yeah. You won't let us look at it.
It's so huge, mean.
Like the wiki was helpful.
That's very true. I use the wiki a lot.
With a lot of that.
Thank you, Mr. Red.
It's just, it's so much. Like, there's no way we get together once a week.
Yeah.
For a few hours.
Yeah.
Over 9 years, there's just no, like, no human being could keep all that in their brain.
And I think too, it's like when you're, I don't know, when you're performing like live, like figuring things out as they come. Like, when we joke about podcast amnesia, but I think there is this, like, you can't be thinking about so many things at the same time. You just kind of got to go with it.
Right. It's so much easier to say,
forget what you said.
Right. It's much easier to say something than it is to remember
exactly
everything you said, which is really hard to kind of. Roll with, but yeah, you know, it's,
especially when you're just making the shit up.
that's the hardest part. Is like finding some sort of internal consistency when it's like, okay, this day this felt fun and incorrect, and maybe it was fun and correct, but like, you know, 3 months down the road, maybe it wasn't. You know,
I guess actually, kind of like a little bit on this topic, I feel like most of us in this group didn't really play D&D or like any sort of RPG much before we started the podcast. But Nika, I feel like you did before you started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'd be really interested to hear like what your experience was like in those other games versus like this, like where, like, was it a similar, I don't know. I'm just curious what your experience was with that.
So I basically played in the games that like Michael wanted. Every game I played was gritty, like a high fantasy game was like, ooh, you could like go and you could like get resurrection and stuff like that. But it was just like, I don't know, our everything was out to kill us. Our DM was just like really hard on it. It was literally just the players versus the DM. It wasn't a story.
So you were really like fighting against each other in a way.
And so it was always, you know, you're not friends with the DM. You don't want to like tell secrets or make plans or everything. So that's why, like, I think whenever I came in, one of the reasons why I asked a lot of questions about things was just because I was so like cautious. I was like, Michael's gonna try to screw us over somehow. Like, there's some little thing that's like waiting, and I know it's gonna happen.
It's like that is a thing that like that does kind of happen, but you need to get the like right amount of it. Because, right. Like you,
yeah.
The whole thing is like you have a playful like antagonistic
right,
relationship.
Right. You don't want, yeah. You don't want to see yeah. the scene.
But you don't want it to be like really like we are fighting each other.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's like you got to play that up too. Like that's, oh, yeah. That's a fun. That's a fun.
It is fun. But it's like, fun to be like, Michael, you look happy. I'm mad.
Yeah.
Ha ha ha. But like every time I asked you for your hit points, it wasn't because I was trying to kill. It wasn't like so I could kill you right. so that I wouldn't accidentally kill you. Like literally, that would be the only time I would care.
Yeah, it's even not
us. Whereas like yeah. literally my DM would be like, oh, you have that many. Like I would never answer because he would then like. Yeah, magically you would have crits and stuff like that. Who's to say?
I can understand how like. For certain people, that would be the game. Like, you really are. It's, like, yeah. more of a strategy thing. Like, you're fighting against each other. But, yeah. obviously, with a podcast, like, the story is the point.
Right.
The characters yeah. are the point. Right. So, I never felt like Michael. I always felt like you were. It was always, like, in that fun, like, competition. Like, oh, yes. like, you got to make it hard for us. But, like, we're always, like. It was always, like, for the sake of having fun.
Yeah. But then it's also that balance between, like. Like how much do I like you have to have that constant fight with yourself of like between being like, oh, do I have plot armor or like
right yes how much plot armor do I have?
I've wanted for a long time. I've wanted one of us to just die a natural like unplanned death in combat just to know that it's possible. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think it is, but it's like, it's a hard, yeah. it's a hard,
it's just harder to do on a podcast. Make. It,
right. You have to be really brave, Michael.
I don't feel like Michael would stop if some, I feel like Michael would do it, but like.
Yeah, he's a big P word is what I hear. What you're
no,
saying.
But
yeah.
then we just like, then, you know, there would be a conversation and. I don't know. Right. I feel like it could happen.
I don't feel like Michael would ever kill us for good without being like, yo, are you okay with this?
Yeah.
Like, which right. I appreciate.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Because I wouldn't want to force you to stop playing a character you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely a different dynamic.
I appreciate that. Because I think there's a difference. It's like, I feel like there's characters that you're like, I would be okay if this happened. And there's characters like, I still want to do something with this character.
Right. So. And, you know, early on before D&D Beyond, there was a non-zero chance that if we had a two-part combat, people wouldn't remember what their HP or spell slots or anything yeah. was.
Yeah.
So so for like until we switched to 5e, until we started doing D&D Beyond, combat was somewhat of a struggle because no one plays D&D. Most people don't. Not like. Apparently, most people don't play D&D the way D&D was designed, with like fucking 7 encounters a day or something like that.
Yeah.
And even, you know, more against what D&D is designed to do is do a 1-hour-ish podcast, even if like it's only 40 minutes of actual D&D, right? That kind of goes against the vibe of it. So it's definitely, you know, even in if it was like a 2-hour, there'd be so much more chances for us to get murdered, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's a bad thing, right? I just think it's it's a completely different problem that you have to deal with and a completely different set of hurdles. I definitely think with technology, it's a lot better where, you know, I think it took us a really long time to lock in why combat was fun and how to make it just as enjoyable as a funny episode, right?
Yeah.
I still think right. that's probably a way we can grow, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I think that, you know, there's some like RPE things that we could do more in battle, but you know, that's there. You always want to grow a little bit.
I almost feel like the combat is almost like the mini game in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It. Like it's like a side thing that you do have to like, I don't know, like, make it cool. Like, right. And that's why I do enjoy.
And you've got all these cool things to do.
Yeah.
You want to use them. It's like you want to do
yeah,
them.
It's fun.
Like that's, I always, every time you guys leveled up, I always would throw a monster at you right away.
Yeah, you got to. You got to try your new stuff out.
Just so you could try out your shit.
It's fun.
The chat does bring up two times that a character accidentally died, and that would be Harper and Bananas Foster.
Yeah, that's true.
It's so true.
That's true.
Yeah. Bananas was an accident, but like, If Bananas didn't die there, Bananas would have died 5 minutes later in a planned way.
I don't have an accident. Yeah.
He would have died regardless.
Yeah, Harper's the only character.
No, that wasn't guaranteed.
Yeah, he was the only one that randomly died. Randomly, right? Even for us, that's the closest.
Yeah, I don't even know if this has been like said really, but your whole thing was you had a thought. Well, you say like what your thought was. What was the other option other than him just dying?
Oh, that he would lose his powers.
Yeah.
And retire and become king, right? And like be a good king. I thought that would have been equally bittersweet. I like bittersweet endings, as you can see. That's why I did that with Toby, right? I think dying was the right call at the moment, and I think that was one of the right calls as well. Was him, and there's definitely it's so weird, right? Because like even if something is the right call for us and we know it is, there's this little thing that gets in the side of your head. And, some people are like, oh, it's doubt. Like, no, it's the audience. The audience will will tell you when you're wrong, even when one, you're not wrong. And when two, they are wrong. And they'll disagree with each other. So it is a very difficult thing to sort of balance, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you want to listen to an extent. Like, if everyone was like, this character makes me sad. I don't know. There's an extent to which it makes sense.
Right.
But you do have to kind of just go with the character yourself.
Right. But I think in this instance, it was like, well, if we don't pay off what we've been setting up here, then people are going to get mad and say you pull punches when, even if it was like hinted at, right? Which I think it was, right? Because, that's sort of like the vibe of like the quote unquote infusions that he had, right? So
right, and we did that whole like more serious little bit right beforehand, and we did have a conversation that it could go bad, and it was like, are you cool with that?
Right, and that is true. Except for the Angel of Death, right?
That was a different situation.
Whenever things get scary, it's definitely a conversation where Michael will, obviously not make it obvious that he is, moving heaven and earth to protect us. Like, we obviously joked about that for Aludra, and we still would do it if it came up. But that being said, we weren't really a very risky party.
We really weren't, honestly.
Fairly risk averse, mostly because I think sometimes people are not just, I think sometimes in D&D people do the my character's an idiot thing. And then, there's consequences. we didn't do a lot of that, which we could have. We didn't split up as much as we could have. So
stay tuned for Fred's arc, where my character will be an absolute will make constant bad choices.
This is going to be like revenge. She's going to take it out.
Like, what's happening?
But you're taking it out on Fred. So,
yeah.
Like, we're coming out unscathed.
It's a vicious cycle for sure.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Being a large and handsome hero means more than crushing your enemies while defending the common folk. It means having a frank discussion with yourself about erectile dysfunction. I never go into battle without my trusty sword of radiant mercy. So why would I try to treat my ED without the aid of Hims? I don't have time to leave the dungeon to schedule a doctor's appointment in order to treat my ED, and with Hims, I don't have to. Through Hims, you can access affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your camp or a couch. The process is simple and all online. might as well be magic. They provide access to doctor-trusted ED treatments such as chewable hard mints, brand names like Viagra, or even generic alternatives that are up to 95% cheaper, saving you a lot of gold. Would I have vanquished the arch lich of Scarlet Miasma if I didn't take a potion of major healing? Of course not. Each battle requires its own solution, and that of course includes your sexual health. Join me and hundreds of thousands of trusted HIM subscribers and start your quest to vanquish your ED today. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/greetings. That's hims.com/greetings for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/greetings. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
And now let's take a quick adventuring break and hear a word from one of our sponsors. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts about being a kid. But as I got older, I wanted to watch out for all the sugar and empty carbs. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you love, but with high protein and less sugar. I couldn't decide which flavor to try out, so I went for the variety pack to get a little taste of everything, including cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. Each pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs, and only 140 calories per serving. With Magic Spoon being high protein, keto-friendly, gluten, grain, and soy-free, what's not to love? My favorite was the fruity and peanut butter. It really hits the spot when I need something that's crunchy and delicious, and whenever I deserve a little treat. Go to magicspoon.com/greetings to grab a variety pack and try it today. Also, be sure to use our promo code GREETINGS at checkout to save $5 off your order. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to start your day off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/greetings and use code GREETINGS to get $5 off.
What about, like, how characters changed, not just from how you said Jennifer where Rowan was like Victor from Yuri on Ice, mm-hmm. but like how they actually changed throughout the campaign, meaning once you sort of locked in and then the character itself mm-hmm. changed to the environment. What about you guys, have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like for Rowan, like I first just spent time like wanting to get a handle on like what her personality was for a while, and then I eventually was like, well, what does she have going on, like what does she want?
Yeah,
you know, and that's why I started being like, I know I want to bring in like her family and like kind of bring in more of like, you know, Rowan is a fun dirtbag character, but like what's going on in there emotionally. So I think once I got a better handle on like her general, like how she interacts with people, then I was able to dig into like what is actually motivating her. And that's how I think about it. And again, it's the thing of like any character I make accidentally becomes some like part of mm-hmm. me. So it's not that hard to play it because it feels very sincere.
Yeah.
Do y'all have a hard time differentiating your character from yourself?
I used to.
Like I feel like every one of my characters has fallen into dumb bitch energy at some point.
No, I think it like the longer you play a character, the more it becomes some part of yourself. Like you can't help it.
There's always some aspect, I think, that the character, some aspect of your personality that the character exemplifies. And the
even
longer
if
you
like
play,
don't even realize
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it might take a while to be like, I'm gonna play this totally like wacky character, and then you're like, oh no.
Yeah. I mean, I think it just comes with
oh no, it's me.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's Jayla turned to goth Jayla when Nika got very depressed.
Yeah, man.
Very dynamic character.
Wow. Yeah. Dude, really, it's like, how's this happen?
Yeah. Yeah, it is fun. It is interesting because some of the characters did really radically change. Mm-hmm. Like Jayla radically changed and then I think came, you know, back more at the end when she was just in a loving relationship.
Right.
But
when she got that support and
yeah.
Or like Toby.
Toby changed a lot.
Toby went down a dark.
He did.
What are you referring to?
Tim, tell us more. What was your motivation? Because I do think it's really interesting, like playing a character. Because like I feel like the expectation would be like, oh, you play a character that starts out hard and gets softer. Mm-hmm. You did the opposite of that, and I think that doesn't happen as often.
Yeah, you know, I delight in simplistic sort of character tropes, very tropey, very not overly complicated, right? So, you know, initial Toby is just, you know, freshman hanging
He's
out
a little
with,
guy.
Right, yeah, freshman hanging out with the seniors, out of his element type thing on top of classic nerd wizard. Easy fun, love to start as a trope and go from there. And yeah, you know, it's very much a situation of like the constant draw that we've already kind of alluded to it, is it's like when you're playing a character with quote unquote flaws, there's always like a whirlpool and that's always dragging you to the center. And the center is like making them not have flaws. And while also it's making them sort of like you, right? They're all turning into the like character of whoever it is that you play, right?
Yeah.
So the fact that it was like, oh, well, he has no charisma and he has high intelligence. He's, you know, it's like, okay, we've seen those types of characters before. Yeah. I'll just do the like, oh, he'll probably laugh until you're wrong, but he's not doing it because he's mean. He's just doing it because like, he doesn't want you to die. And he's like generally interested in how you could come to such a poor decision. And then, you know, the fact like, The time jumps are like really fun, right? Because that's when you get to explicitly justify any character traits you want to do and things like that.
Right.
So, you know, from there, it's like, all right, gone through some hardships, is no longer naive, right? Getting it, peeling off a little of that crust. And I do think that sort of I think that technically initially edged off some of Toby's stuff, but that did kind of skew him more from goody goody two shoes to like, okay, he's seen some stuff of based off the quote unquote lore of the 7 years in between arc 2 and 3. Then, you know, towards the end, it was sort of a situation of like half desperation, half epic, deep mania of making sure that no one he loves ever gets hurt. Right. So that was sort of like his core. It's a very easy core to play off of. It's a fun one, right? It's a very simple, this is good, right? I want to protect my friends. Mm-hmm. But when you...
And there's not always that straightforward.
Exactly. And that's why I love simplicity so much, is because you can just take such... It doesn't have to be complicated. It's just a very simple trope character wants to protect her friends. Now, what's interesting about that?
Right. You're rolling into like the complexity of the human condition.
Right. And so... You know, towards the end of it, where it's obviously becoming harder and harder to protect, you know, your friends and family. It's like, what would you do? You know, what would you do to protect those that you love?
Damn.
And then, you know, Michael sort of dangled the Vecna stuff, and I was like, oh fuck, like because like
that's my shit.
Because if you know, I think if it would have been up to me, I would have toyed with it, but never like done anything super, you know, hardcore or naughty or deep, you know. It was like, it felt like a very obvious thing that Toby in his hubris, right? Because even though he was more mature, he was still like extremely intelligent.
He was still his own personality,
right? Like. And he's it's a lot like Nate from the good from Ted Lasso. Oh. In a lot of ways, right? Oh. He was lucky that he made friends and allies of gods, other gods, right? How do you beat a god? Well, probably another god. And in fact, it's technically not a god, but they're powerful enough to be of that tier. So, you know, if he didn't do the work of having allies, right?
That's a lot to think about as Toby is analogous a little bit to Nate. That much to think about.
Yeah, no, I think there's something.
I ponder that in my heart.
I think the... the character not knowing that they're slowly declining into desperation. And when that desperation gets deep enough, then they will make choices that are worse, you know. You know, I know, like, for the time jump with Harper, and it was really interesting behind the scenes a little bit. It's like Harper might want to kill Jayla, because if she did kill Aludra's fiance, then where Harper is, you know, capital G good.
Right. But, he might be like, I have to deal with this.
But as a quote unquote lawful good who kept it, like, basically formed a city out of refugees fleeing a demon apocalypse, he would be like, we're friends, yes, but I haven't seen you that much over the past 5 years. And if you really did this, then I have to execute you, because what you did is going to kill so many fucking people.
Making the fiance, I forget what his name was.
Balder?
But like,
Balder, yeah. Balder.
Yeah. Making him like the nicest guy in the world was so fun. Because it's like, we want to hate this guy.
It was so good because it made it like matter. It made it like have impact.
Yeah.
Because we just sucked, like, who cares? But it wasn't like that.
I enjoyed doing the stuff with Scud and Uthgar.
Yeah.
That was,
yeah, man.
That was right. Fun. That was a whole long thing. And it was every time I got to play Uthgar, it was always fun for me.
Yeah, you love to play a stupid bro. It's so funny.
Oh, yeah, it is. That is the best.
I think that whole stuff, like... Like, I know it was like played a lot of silly. There's like a lot of silly stuff in there, but like there was, I don't know. There's also some like some real shit in there. Like, and particularly for me, like also like,
yeah,
you know, my dad dying this year and like getting like having to do that kind of stuff. Like, you know, there's elements of truth in there and like how I was feeling about all that. So it was really nice to be able to explore that.
And I mean, this, you know, this whole thing started like right when my dad died, not to get like too serious, but like, that's why I was in the attic finding the D&D books, is because I was had to clean out the attic because my parents had to sell their house because of all that. Anyway, so like I was right there with you, and like just real and like when you were like, I was like, I'm gonna make Uthgar do this really dumb thing or like this shitty thing, and you were like, no, he shouldn't do a shitty thing. He should actually be a decent, good person. I was like, all right, yeah, this is the path. This is the right path to go down.
I have no memory of ever reining you in for anything. So that's if that's a lie, thank you so much. You're making me look way better.
You look great.
No, that's not a lie. That's very true.
How about like stuff that we're looking forward to, you know, let's not say the word improving, right? But like, what is something that, you know, is on our hopes and dreams bucket list for the future?
It's so tough because I really enjoy like discovering new things and like surprises and stuff like that. And it's so hard with, you know, like vanilla D&D or just like whatever the stuff is from the D, because it's like, you know, everything, you know, you're like the players know everything. It's not like you're going to be playing your player character and you're going to run into an elf for the first time and be like, oh my God, an elf. And it's like, I want to somehow have that discovery and stuff in the next campaign, and I will have to like put our heads together if you guys think that's interesting.
Should just go full Land of the Lost.
But
yes. What the
fuck? Just like describe one creature but replace literally every other thing about it with another creature. I'm like, wait,
what?
This isn't it. Wait,
you just like take the different creatures and like shift the table over.
You see a dog, it goes meow.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that would be weird.
I'm probably gonna do more like completely made up monsters and stuff for you all to fight.
Oh, shit. Yeah, even if it's a real monster, but you just say it looks like something different, like we won't know any fucking better.
Yeah, just reskin it or whatever, just to make it sort of more interesting.
You get any thoughts? Or
I would like to see a true betrayal in the party, but I don't know how it would happen.
Bobby's like, what?
How does it get any more betrayal than being the literal villain?
I don't know. I guess maybe Okay, maybe I just blacked out Jet because of how much.
Nigga, like, it'd be so cool to have that.
You were the most mad about that. Like, easily the most mad.
It's, like, very effective on her.
Because I, whenever you were talking about his redemption arc, I was like, if Jet came back, I'd kill him. Jalen, kill him. okay, never mind.
And when Harper did it, it was, like, much quicker, and we got over it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Well, you had motivations, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like a... To have Jet come back, but have to just always avoid Jayla. Jayla comes in the room, he's like, oh, in the closet.
Oh, shit.
The Amazing Adventures of Jet and Jayla. I would watch that,
God.
I think.
What would they be like?
Sitcom.
Could you imagine the fashion they would have?
Yeah. But Nika, are you saying like an organic betrayal of where? Because both Harper and Jet's essentially were like pre-planned.
Yeah.
So like one where it was more like this character really just is not going along, like their arcs not go along with what's going on, and they're going to like do their own thing.
You can have certain, like maybe it's more like an evil character, like someone who's playing an evil character who's maybe like actively working against the party, but in a way that's very like underhanded and long con.
Ooh.
Which, and maybe a lot of that was going on and I just didn't realize it.
It could be interesting if I were to like give you a choice that was so difficult,
yeah,
that, you know, it kind of split.
Yeah.
Or like one person was like, nah, I'm just going to do this.
Yeah.
I'm going to everyone else is against me, but I think that it should be this, not the thing that everyone's choosing.
Maybe something like maybe more difficult situations.
I wouldn't do that again, Michael, of everyone disagrees with me, but I think we should do this. Situation where,
but you stay with us though is the thing.
Yeah, but that was because we do a podcast.
I think they're talking about someone literally yeah. being like,
"Well, that's the problem. We're still going to be doing a podcast down the road,
right?
So,
right,
what does that look?
It does
like?
Make it different, yeah.
Oh yeah, this is I'm talking characters, not players. You know,
right.
No. That's I am too. But it would be so weird. Maybe we do it now because we're a little more quote unquote mature or whatever. But like, you know, every now and again, we would have to kind of say. We're not real sure why Tom is with us. Harper should leave right now. It really doesn't make any sense that he's here, but what are you going to do?
A lot of things don't make sense in real life.
That's so true. That's so true.
Gosh.
But yeah, I definitely think that a little more grit, right? Even if it's not Michael's Game of Thrones world. You know.
Something that I would like... personally is to be a little more willy-nilly with decisions or things like play. So the way that I play Call of Cthulhu games is like, you're gonna die, it doesn't matter what you do, have the most fun option,
right?
And I have never played a D&D character like that. Most of it is like, it's strategic in what I play, so I think it would be fun too.
You're like agonizing over your choice,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, what is like the correct choice to make versus I'm just going with what
the most fun or whatever,
right?
So like, Nika, I'll trade you characters sometimes if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
I kind of want to, like, I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, no, it's,
you simply must change your mindset.
It's definitely, you know, a tough thing to do, and I think the whole how do you encourage your players to not be so risk adverse is definitely a problem. But
yeah,
you know, yeah. I think there's some, it's like a spring sort of like, okay, I've been way too risk averse. Now my character does something my character wouldn't do.
Yeah.
Because it's, I think it's like in my experience, my, you know, somewhat limited, but broad experience. Sometimes people just like I'm just doing something crazy. It's like, your character probably does not want to die. Right?
That feels like a totally different. I can't really imagine anyone in this group doing that.
Right.
I think it's more that sometimes, at least for me, I feel like I let the player knowledge infect the character knowledge a little bit. Like, well, I make this decision because I know it's going to be really bad if I don't make it.
Hmm.
If that makes sense.
And not in a metagaming way, but it's just like.
Not intentionally, but I think I think it does affect how I play. In a way.
Well, you also have to figure that your characters know a lot more than you know. So
yeah,
there's definitely a lot of that going on, right? Like, you know.
One thing just to amp up the stakes a little. Like, I'm really looking forward to us being low level.
Yeah.
And like resurrection not being just a thing that you can do without even thinking about.
Yes.
Just because it makes the stakes so much lower. I would like death to be more permanent, mm-hmm. or like a possibility.
Right. We should just like take resurrection out of it. Just be like, fuck it, it doesn't exist anymore.
I have never thought on this podcast that death was not permanent.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because like you didn't really push it back when it was a situation where it could have been permanent just because we could resurrect.
Right.
And you know, I think we don't necessarily, we didn't really track gold very well, mostly because much like forgetting to track your own HP during a battle, that came up of another thing. But I think the way to kind of counteract that is do some of the more boring stuff, right? Like you kind of have to have some of the quote unquote boring stuff to make some of the cool stuff mean more, right? Because like resurrection costs like 1,000 gold.
Right. You have to like go earn that gold.
Right. So
that's a different situation. Like you're having to go do side quests to get the gold to resurrect them.
Or if there's like no one near your party that could do it.
Right.
Because like
a little soul and like a bottle.
Right. Because like the early like revivify spell, wasn't it like it's only within 24 hours or something like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's like shorter.
I think it was like a minute or something.
That gets into where we're like teetering on the edge of what's a game and what's a story for listeners. You know?
Yeah. And that's a great point. And I don't know the answer to that, but I definitely think
we've done. Very different.
It is like, very different.
What we're doing is different than what we would do.
Like, I think if we like broke from like our story to go do a side quest to like farm material components or something like that.
Sure, sure, sure. But that's real D&D. That's at home D&D too, right? Everything is an opportunity for more story. And you know, just because the DM is doing a random encounter on a table, or just because it's always an opportunity for, you know, the story to follow. So if you look at it as like derailing, right? Which is, if you're looking at that, that's a couple red flags, right? It's always an opportunity, but that is, it's still, what you're saying is completely true with the audience being like, they just want to get to, like, what the audience wants it is chaotic and unknowable. Even the ones that should tell you, and you know, I've said it from the beginning, fuck the audience. The audience is here because they like us. And
so we kind of had to trust our gut.
Right. It was an early advice I got during improv. Fuck the audience. Play to the top of your own intelligence. Play to the top of your own ability. Don't go chasing their tail, right?
Yeah.
If you do something they like, don't go, lean into that. Do something that you like and train the audience. So I think that is a part of why our show is sort of has lasted, right?
Yeah.
Is because I think there is so much of it that is, the draw is not necessarily, like I was thinking about this the other day, I think there are D&D shows that the draw is the story within the D&D game, right? And like mechanics, it goes like story then mechanics, right? So I think for our show, it's more of the entirety of it is that. And there's nothing wrong one way or the other. It's just simply none of us are actors. So what else, else the fuck are we going to do, right? And we started as a show that was literally...
How dare you?
I took acting classes. You know, I almost was in a fucking commercial. I tried out to be a misogynist in Ghostbusters.
Do you know how many musicals I was in high school?
None of us are professional actors or what have you. So... You know, I think there is, it's still always going to be a consideration, but I think for us, it would bum me out if we didn't do something simply because we thought the audience wouldn't like it. Now, we can say that because we wouldn't do anything that bad, right?
Yeah.
And it's that whole thing of like, talking about your like anxiety, right, Jennifer? Of like, oh, you're anxious that you'll mess something up,
right?
Due to this interaction, but it's like, well, because you're doing it, you're never gonna mess it up. This, or you would never go like that hard,
right?
It's messing up. So all that to say is, I think there's like something to be done with some of the more unfun D&D mechanics.
I think like a less maybe hostile way to think of it, other than fuck the audience, is you know, you can't surprise the audience if you're giving them exactly what they want.
Ooh, yeah. And I think that sometimes people think they want a certain thing, but they don't actually. So I think what they like about our game, I think, is that we are like, we're just having a good time together. Like, and I think if we were trying to play it in a way that was just catering to the audience, we wouldn't be ourselves and it wouldn't come across the same way.
It's like how everybody put sevens in the chat, but no one wants to see my dick.
Very important.
Very important.
If you think you do, you don't.
You do not.
Michael, I mean, is there anything else that you want to get off your chest? Any weird parts of the DMing experience? Because I know what most people want to hear. Were we zigged instead of zagged? Is there any secrets that you want to reveal?
Yeah, anything you want to...
Do you want to gloat of anything we missed? Now's the time, baby.
These dummies.
Grandstand.
Most of the stuff is like, stuff got kind of out of control or out of my hands or like going to do the pyre thing. Like my plan was always like, this will be like 5 episodes. You know, and then it's like, no, it's actually, we spent a year doing this. Like that is more where like this, or I don't know if it's a failing of imagination on my part or what.
That's just how it is, baby.
You thought too highly of us, Michael.
Yeah, you thought we would be normal.
Or not highly enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Somewhere in between there, probably.
You thought nothing.
You didn't think at all.
I was not thinking.
Head empty, no thoughts.
I pull up my secrets, Doc.
Just share if
there's anything secret in there.
Yeah, I think bone cards could have been explored more.
Yeah, we didn't spend enough time on bone cards.
I loved every second of it.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of those things, too, that felt very much like, okay, we're doing a podcast. This makes no sense. We should break into the Elite Forge. Why are we not breaking into the Elite Forge? Okay, I guess we'll do this instead.
You can't do it.
That's not fun.
Yes, it is. Breaking into a fucking vault. Okay, That's the funniest shit on the planet.
Okay, yeah, but we had other shit we needed to do. No, breaking into a vault is a good. That is fun.
We should have explored more of Castigliani Marcello de Reginini, the mafia. Yeah, the mafia.
There's a lot of unanswered questions there for sure.
Yeah, we never touched on the Gramp. You know, we never got into
Right, everyone like kind of said the Gramp of us like dropping plot lines, but it's like, have you played Dungeons and Dragons? You try to kind of throw shit out the players and whatever they.
Have you seen the world?
Oh yeah.
Or like real life, you just think of all the plot lines that you drop in real life. You find out about shit and then you never address it.
Remember when everyone thought that, what was it, like killer, like wasp or whatever we're going to be? And they just like went away.
Yeah, listener, did you solve the homelessness problem in various cities across America?
I really do feel like that.
What happened to that plot thread?
Why'd you not do anything about it? Like, well, we had other stuff to do. You know what I'm saying? I had a freaking season 2 of Mob Psycho was on and I had to watch it.
It was good. And there's a third one that's coming out now.
I wanted to make it even more complicated with like Trant was like tricking Tiamat.
Oh, shit.
But there was like no way to show that, or it was already so confusing, like to make it more confusing.
You explicitly don't like to monologue.
Yeah.
In fact that we had to bully you into doing it. I don't know what the answer to that is, because I don't want us to be a show like where you record shit after the fact you know, the finales are you just talking for 35 minutes with cool music and stuff like that.
That's not what it's about.
That does not sound fun to me.
Yeah.
Because again, I think it's the whole thing is that like the thing that's fun is us all like building on each other and like creating something stupid.
Yeah, we are a shook up beer can.
Yes.
And like the offshoots or like the silly dumb things that we would do are always the most fun. And it's like, I don't think the podcast can just be that. Like it wouldn't work if it was just only chaos.
Yes.
But like every once in a while you gotta have a sweeties day or whatever.
And you gotta let yourself like be indulgent.
Right. You have to embrace the unknown, and sometimes the unknown is we're not going on the plot thread that I thought we were, but it seems like there's something here. Mm-hmm. And we haven't done a combat encounter for a while, or we haven't had like a hostile, you know, low stakes NPC that they're not going to fight, but maybe they'll argue with, and you don't know where that goes. So yeah, you know, there's so many things that like you just kind of got to have an open mind to go off the beaten path sometimes, and that's Never super easy. It's also hard for us not to know when we need to push back on you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like when it's like, all right, I don't want to mess up your thing because we don't necessarily have a lot of time. And you know, it's not you railroading us. It's us making sure I don't know. It's some weird non-negative version of that where I think we can push back on some things more mm-hmm. because you would literally tell us to. But I'm sure we would. It's tough, right? And I don't know what the answer is there. And I don't think it's even a problem. It just is.
It's
maybe
just the tension in playing. I think you're never like, it is always that like, okay, should I like push this or like, no, I need to like let this happen.
Right. And you don't ever know when something is going to be accidentally self-indulgent just for your character. But sometimes that's like really, really, really important to do.
I tend to err on the side of indulging the self-indulgence is, I think it usually is, I don't know, at least right. for me, I find that is when I can like dig into a character and do some interesting stuff.
Right, so. I agree.
Do you remember that giant stone head that was floating
yeah.
around?
Yeah, what's with that?
And it was nothing.
Cool. Just a rub with that?
I was like, I need to make this into... Like, you guys are so into it. I was like, I got to make this into something. And then I
just love that it existed. Yeah. It didn't need to be deeper.
There's
than
so much
that.
Like,
I just liked it.
It's like, oh, that was just on the back lot, the Universal Studios from another movie. Is what it's something
Show me what you've got.
It is fun, like, having those sort of threads come up, though, and just following them.
Right.
Even if we have no plan or it doesn't advance the plot.
Did you have an idea? Did you have an idea for Pyre if we didn't do anything about it, or is that were you super happy for it just to be a part of the world? As there's this weird, lightly fascist or maybe completely fascist
dragon.
City
yeah.
that is weirdly protecting people because it's the apocalypse. But now that we're not in the apocalypse, they're still there. You know.
So there's like certain things that I felt like needed to pay off. Or it would have been a bummer.
Mm.
Like, it's not like, and I think that's like, I think it would have been disappointing for, you know, and it's like disappointing for the audience. And it's not like, but like a legitimately disappointing.
Mm.
Like, so if Pyre had never paid off this dragon that we've been talking about for so long, and like,
yeah,
that would have been a big bummer.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been okay, but it was fun that we did.
He probably would have been like fighting with Trant or something
it,
like
yeah.
that.
Right. I would have made Pyre more involved in the final stuff, probably.
Right. Because he tried to steal the orb initially.
But we dealt with him.
Yeah. Because originally it was Tiamat working with Trant to try to fuck things up. Tiamat thought Trant was working for her.
Oh, that classic.
Oh, man.
That classic one.
You've got to be careful who you align with.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Who's going to turncoat on you?
Yeah.
So, like, when Toby introduced all the clone tanks, it was like, if we never use these clone tanks, I think it'll bum people out.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's like Chekhov's gun or whatever. It was Toby's clone tanks.
Wow.
It's like essentially making the clone tanks made it so that I had to kill you.
I do feel like that was fun because, yeah, it's like when you have something cool like that, it's like, well, yeah, you gotta play around with it.
I don't understand where that term comes from because, like, I've seen a lot of Star Trek and I don't remember Chekhov ever having a gun.
It's a phaser.
Yeah.
I bet there's also, too, that you can't pay everything off because some things need to be quote unquote set dressing, but
yeah, it's good to leave some things
yes, exactly,
vague or whatever.
Like, we never paid off like why the doors were made out of different wood.
right exactly.
they were always oak.
Well, any final thoughts on this retrospective type of episode? I mean, I'm very, very thankful to all of you and very thankful to the audience and all of the people that are behind the scenes that make this work.
I think one, like, I guess last little comment is kind of going back to how when you make a character, it always ends up becoming you. And I think there's a part of me that's like, okay, I'm done finding out stuff about myself. That's enough.
Yeah.
I was a little bit like nervous, like, oh no, what's it going to be next?
Oh shit.
I'm done with this shit, but I'm not.
What did Rickety Nell pull out of?
Oh my God. I don't know. I want to be Rickety Nell right now. She's a queen.
Rickety Nell is always inside of you.
That's right. So she is.
I just want to say thank you to you guys because what started as just like a funny show that made me laugh a lot became a lot more. And you guys, the show helped me in ways before I even knew you. And then knowing you guys and getting to play with you over the past 8 years, I'm so appreciative of being to sit at the same table with you guys and play in the same story. And thank you for being there through my growing pains of learning story versus rules for D&D. And I don't know, thanks for everything, and it's been super fun. And from being a fan of the show to this, it's just like, it's like it.
Yeah, this must be a very big deal for you. Like, you get to see the end. Yeah. No, you.
Yeah, it's when you came on board, it injected brand new life into the show. And I think that is just such a huge part of the success that we've had.
I think it became the thing of like, oh, now this is, it's like it locked into place. Like, okay, this is yep. it now. Like, yeah. This is our route.
It is
like,
literally roll or die.
No, we told you that. It's like, you better be fucking good.
Nika, your transition from fan to cast member was my inspiration to try and do the same thing on Always Sunny. You were more successful than I was. But...
You haven't done it yet. We're rooting for you.
You've inspired 1,000 cringeworthy emails sent to info@dndpodcast.com.
No, I do. I don't know. You know, Nika, I feel the same. Like, I just, yeah, I'm just very grateful. I think it's been very therapeutic for me. In like ways I didn't even realize, or like it just happened. I'm very grateful for the chance to get to play.
Yeah. I mean, it's changed our lives completely, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, this is a thing that we have forever now.
Right. Look at all the bullshit behind Michael. Like so much of that bullshit wouldn't be there. Persona 5, poster, Persona 5 happened because of us. I skew negative in my brain sometimes, and I skew viewing that which we don't have, or what have you. And it's easy, and we say this a lot when we read reviews, it's very easy to forget, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that we're always good at being thankful, because it is so surreal, but I think there are times that I forget. Sort of how lucky we are, mm-hmm. right? Like, I know it, mm-hmm. but there just gets, like, maybe it's a better way to say it, like, I don't necessarily take the time, right, to stop and, you know, really huff in, like, wow, this is really hard. No one's done this before.
Well, but I think it kind of, Michael, it kind of goes back to what you were saying, is like, it didn't even occur to us to, like, that we wouldn't keep going, and right. I think that, that was like the right. thing. We're all on the same page,
right?
Like,
it's the my hermit crab analogy that I like to say. Humans, we just grow.
Yeah, and grow into the house that you're in.
Grow into the house that you're in. You're always gonna feel, you know, I remember like friends of mine when they got better jobs and promotions, always had about the same amount of money because you grew. So that's sort of like where it was for us, where it's like we there were some times where maybe we didn't get the chance to really be thankful, because it's like, okay, we got invited to this thing, but they spelled our name wrong. Okay. This thing maybe happened, but they, you know, all this other bullshit, which again, is stupid. You know, we should be.
There's a lot of shows out there that are way more popular than ours, which is fine.
I disagree.
But like the fact that so many people do care so
yes.
much,
yes.
and it means so much to so many people. Like, we get emails all the time.
My God.
Yeah.
Which we don't, you know, share because they're personal.
I do feel like we have like a very like good connection with our audience.
They're extremely wonderful.
It's very strong. Yeah. And I think that I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get, you know, you get nice messages and I don't do a good enough job responding to those. But mm-hmm. that's only because it's really funny to me when somebody says, hey, can I ask you a question? 4 years later going, yeah, what's up?
And I think they appreciate it too.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that, yeah, that's what they were going for.
That's a gift.
Yeah, the emails always bounce back. Like, this email's not in service anymore. Like, oh.
Getting to those two conventions was really nice. Just getting to talk to listeners and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because it had been so long.
Oh, for this year? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, just the last things that we, and the upcoming PAX Unplugged, I'm sure will be awesome.
I can't wait.
Oh, man. It's going to be really, but I'm excited.
To have like another human just care about the dumb shit that you're doing, it's very rewarding.
It's surreal, yeah.
So thank you all. Thank you for giving a shit about our our dumb little show.
Yeah.
That's a very, yeah. I mean, we wouldn't be here if you guys didn't give a shit. Like,
yeah.
We probably would not play D&D together anymore. Because that's just how things are.
That's reality. It's hard. I mean, like, there's a million things going on. Like, your life completely changes. Like, you move, you have a kid, like, start a new job. Like, but because it was a podcast, we had to prioritize it, which I think is, I mean, that's fine. We've been able to keep doing it. And it's been really good for all of us, I think.
Absolutely.
Rad.
Damn.
Well,
damn.
Sucks. We'll never do it again.
Yeah, last episode. D&D again.
Stop it. Next week, we're going to have your voicemails. And then we're going to do 8 to 10-ish episodes with guest GM Fred Greenleaf, which is going to be so awesome.
Fred is awesome. I am.
He's going to DM us something spooky.
Yeah.
He's going to DM us on something spooky. It's going to be great. And during that time, we're going to be doing a bunch of world building and stuff so that we can, when we start campaign 2, probably in January.
Yeah, we won't procrastinate and then wait for a week until,
fuck, campaign starting.
We get to make new inside jokes. Yeah. You'll be able to have a thing when you're like, oh, just start campaign 2, episode 1.
Yeah.
Like, you'll be able to tell your friends that instead of being like,
I'm really looking forward to that. They start 5e
at episode 165
or whatever. That is a tough sell. A lot of episodes, so I'm looking forward to being like, you could start here. It's a manageable amount of episodes.
Yeah, and our numbers are up, so there's a lot of people that are trying to catch up, and we really appreciate that.
Yeah, this is awesome. Thank you.
Well,
I think we've done it.
That's enough.
Yeah,
let's go back into our self-loathing holes and embrace a good bit, a big helping of Baptist style shame.
I need to eat a hot dog.
Yeah,
I'm hungry.
Thank you so much for coming here, Michael. Can you take it away as normal?
Sure. And I just, you know, thank you all for playing in this game and just always being so supportive and. And I appreciate you all a lot.
No, you.
And I do want to also say thanks to Carly for also supporting me and helping me with ideas and letting me bounce ideas off her and then coming up with stuff. And she plays a very secret part of this behind the scenes. I will always be eternally grateful to her.
Thank you, Carly. And thank you, David.
Thank you, Carly. David and Steph and everyone who's ever...
God.
Touched, thought of, downloaded, looked, or whatever to this show.
Made art for the show.
Artists.
Oh, I mean. So many people to thank. Thank you so much for supporting us.
Wrote fan fiction. Oh,
got tattoos.
Got tattoos.
Yeah. Got tattoos.
Named babies. Mr. Red doing the wiki.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody. If you want to get in touch with us, we're on Twitter. We're at Geekly Anchor at D&D Podcast. We're on Instagram at Greetings Adventurers. I'm at Thrifty Nerd.
I'm at Tim Lanning.
I'm at Jennifer Cheek.
I'm at Nika_Howard.
I'm at the Mike Bachman.
After you finish listening to this episode of Greetings Adventures, why not head over to Geekly Inc. and find some other thrilling and entertaining podcast, geeklyinc.com. I just messed that up. Damn. Needing your fan art fix? Well, check out the hashtag Drunks and Doodles for fan art that rolls a nat 20. If you love the work that goes into the show, you'll want to make sure to follow our editor, David, on Twitter at SpudCam. After you've finished taking a break, leaving a review, which is just what I'm going to say right now, head on over to wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. Also, don't forget to head over to patreon.com/dndpodcast. Once you become a patron, you have access to exclusive content you won't be able to find anywhere else. New episodes come out every Monday, so go subscribe, get your quest log filled, and get ready for things to get dicey.
Did we say you could review us on Facebook now?
Oh. You review us on Facebook!
I mean, if you're into that.
We've got 19 reviews on Facebook.
Nice. Oh, are they good?
5 stars, every one of them.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
We'll read some of those.
They keep saying to get vaccinated.
Oh, man.
So until next week, keep it dicey.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.